Welcome back to another episode of What's Going On in the World. I'm your host, Tommy J. Houseman, and I gotta tell you, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday when I was finishing up the podcast and publishing it about Trump's appointees so far, I had no idea that right after I published it and went home that he was going to announce that he wanted Matt Gaetz to be Attorney General. Had I known, I would have waited a little longer before posting that podcast yesterday. So I have to spend some time today and go back and talk about Matt Gaetz and why Trump would do such a thing. It's very perplexing. We're going to have to really dive in this deep and try to figure this out. Well, I want to do the same with all the other nominees that he's tried to appoint so far into his cabinet. And I think that we really need to go back and really analyze these choices that he's making. So first, I think that we need to, analyze this whole thing. President-elect Trump, his decision to nominate Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, we can try to analyze this through several strategic lenses, each grounded in both Gaetz's public loyalty and Trump and the broader implications of the Department of Justice. So let's start with loyalty and protection. So maybe he's trying to ensure loyalty at the DOJ. Trump values loyalty highly in his inner circle, and Gaetz has proven himself as one of Trump's most vocal supporters in Congress, repeatedly defending him against investigations and criticism. This appointment could ensure that the DOJ is led by someone deeply committed to Trump's interests. So shielding against investigations. So with an ally as Attorney General, Trump may feel more secure against federal investigations into his own activities. This choice might reduce the likelihood of the DOJ-led probes into Trump's actions from his time in office to his campaign and business dealings. And this is highly unlikely why he's president anyway. So this is kind of a loose guess about why he would do this. I think Barr was definitely had some ethical concerns and some moral issues as he served under Trump in his first term. But there were even lines that Barr wouldn't cross. I don't think that we would have that same issue with Gaetz. So this could be a shift in DOJ priorities, changing its focus. Gaetz's background as a strong critic of the Justice Department could signal Trump's intent to overhaul the DOJ's priorities, possibly shifting its focus away from investigating political allies and towards prosecuting his political opponents. I mean, that's a big possibility, I think. Realigning the DOJ enforcement, Gaetz's appointment could lead to increased scrutiny of issues aligned with Trump's base, potentially reflecting DOJ resources towards topics such as election fraud, investigations, immigration enforcement, and other politically charged issues, like whether or not he can run again for president, which he cannot run again for president. He's served two terms. He's already started to voice that argument that he can run another term. That is the beginning of authoritarian dictatorship. And plus, he's already 80 years old. He's probably not going to live that long. So let's just try to move past this phase of our life with Trump, right? So let's move on to the next thing. Maybe he's just testing his political boundaries, normalizing controversial appointments. I mean, Trump is often pushed against traditional norms, and this appointment might reflect that his belief that he can appoint whomever he wishes without significant political fallout. The Gaetz nomination challenges the precedent that the Attorney General should have a background of impartiality and prosecutorial experience. So, maybe he's just testing the water, public acclamation to unconventional choices. If confirmed, Gaetz's tenure could pave the way for further non-traditional or loyalty-based appointments in other areas, reinforcing Trump's executive style of rewarding allies and disrupting established practices. So maybe he's trying to weaken the DOJ's independence. Maybe that's a method that he's trying to do too, reducing DOJ autonomy By placing a loyalist in the DOJ's highest role, Trump may be seeking to blur the traditional independence between the Justice Department and the executive office. This could facilitate a more direct line of influence from the White House over federal legal matters, which that always should be the case. The case should always be that those are two separate things. One should not, the president should not be able to dictate what the DOJ does or doesn't do. So setting a precedent for future control, Gates' appointment, if successful, may set a new standard that aligns DOJ's operation more closely with executive directness rather than maintaining the department as a relatively impartial institution. And that's not a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. So public defiance and rallying his base. So maybe he's signaling defiance against opponents. Nominating someone like Gates who has faced legal and ethical scrutiny could be a signal of defiance against critics and an attempt to rally Trump's base by positioning himself in as a disruptor of deep state norms. Galvanizing support by targeting DOJ's enemies, Gates' nomination may energize Trump's supporters who feel that the DOJ has unfairly targeted Trump and his allies. Appointing Gates could be viewed as a statement against the perceived DOJ overreach, which there is no overreach. Trump is a criminal. And that's just a fact. He's always been a criminal. So, yeah. Testing Senate loyalty and control. Then I think this is a big one. Challenging Republican senators. The nomination could also be a political test of Senate Republicans' loyalty. If they confirm Gates, it could signal strong Senate backing for Trump's agenda. And if they reject him, Trump may use it as a rallying point to criticize and possibly change the party's commitment to his leadership. So maybe he's saying, okay, you didn't vote the guy that I wanted to vote, I wanted in to be the leader. You didn't choose Scott. So I'm going to rock the boat here and you guys are going to follow along with me or I'm going to cause even more problems. I mean, that's a legitimate thing too. And it could be that it's all these things. So Trump's perception of executive authority. Let's begin by discussing, his approach to executive authority. Throughout his political career, Trump has often acted with a sense of broad executive power, sometimes challenging established norms and legal boundaries. This perception may influence his decision-making process, including high-profile appointments. He may just feel like this is what he can do. So let's actually talk about this nomination. So on November 13th, 2024, right after I posted the podcast yesterday, President-elect Trump announced his intention to nominate Florida Representative Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. Gaetz, a staunch ally of Trump, has been a vocal critic of the Justice Department's investigations into the former president, labeling them as witch hunts. This nomination underscores the value Trump places on loyalty and suggests a potential shift in the Justice Department's direction, like we talked about earlier. Gates' qualifications and controversies. So here's where we're starting to get into the nitty-gritty. So turning Gates' qualifications, I mean, it's notable that he lacks experience within the Justice Department and he has never served as a prosecutor. His background is primarily in legislative roles, raising, really important questions about his preparedness for overseeing the nation's top law enforcement agency. So, I mean, putting someone that doesn't know what they're doing in charge of something like that, there has to be more reason to it than just trying to rock the boat. But I don't know if Trump is capable of that complex of a thought. I mean, I think it's just an impulsive person that does impulsive things sometimes. Additionally, Gates has faced significant controversies. He was previously under federal investigation for alleged sex trafficking, though no charges were filed. Despite this, the House Ethics Committee continues to scrutinize his conduct, including allegations of sexual misconduct and illicit drug use. So he has resigned. He stepped down from his role. So that stopped the bipartisan investigation into what he was doing. But there are people in the House that are saying they need to release those results so they can see them before they vote. I am sure there are all kinds of crazy things in there. If you've heard anything about some of the things that he said behind the scenes, you understand that this is not a serious person that should be in charge of anything. So the nominee of Gates has raised concerns about potential politicization of the Justice Department. Critics argue that appointing a figure with strong partisan ties and ongoing ethical investigations could undermine the department's independence and integrity. This move may signal departure from the traditional separation between the White House and the Justice Department, leading to fears of increased political influence over federal law enforcement. So let's talk about public and political reactions. So reactions to Gates' nomination have been mixed. Some Republicans support the choice, which is kind of weird, citing his loyalty and alignment with Trump's agenda. I mean, I don't understand why anybody would want Trump to get what he wants. I think it's going to destroy our country, but that's another episode. However, others within the party express skepticism about his suitability for the role. I mean, he's not suitable for the role. He doesn't have the experience, the temperament, or the character to do it. But Democrats and legal experts have voiced strong opposition, obviously, highlighting concerns over his qualifications and the potential erosion of the Justice Department's impartiality. So this is a big concern, right? It's not just a concern about what Trump could do with him in that place, but it's a concern over what it means for the whole country if this department starts to erode from within. So in summary, President-elect Trump's nomination of Matt Gaetz as Attorney General reflects a preference for loyalty and willingness to challenge the established norms, which is really obvious, and he just keeps doing it, which is why we're going to have to keep doing these deep dives into the character of the people he's nominating. Maybe we're going to have to do a deeper dive into Matt Gaetz later on, but I really needed to get this episode out so people understand what's happening. You know, Gaetz's lack of prosecutorial experience and ongoing ethical investigations contribute to the controversy surrounding this decision. And as the confirmation process unfolds, it'll be crucial to monitor how these factors influence the future of the Justice Department and its role of holding the rule of law, as well as how Trump moves forward with nominating people and making decisions. And it's also going to indicate if the House goes along with him or doesn't go along with him, it's going to indicate whether or not that's likely that they do things like this in the future. There has to be some guardrails in place for this president, because we're going to need them. And his first term in office was, he didn't have very many guardrails, and he did have more guardrails. He was, there was people that tried to convince him not to do things, or people said, no, this isn't how things done. We need to do this. There was all kinds of things in place to kind of guide him into trying to be an actual president. This time there's nothing like that. He doesn't have those guardrails, and it's kind of frightening. This is not, again, when we talk about the qualifications for Matt Gaetz, we need to talk about the qualifications of Trump. He really shouldn't be in the situation. We are just, this is just a product of misinformation and bad information that has been echoed into these echo chambers. We're just talking about a really good marketing campaign that convinced half of America, the United States of America, that this person should be president. And that marketing campaign was so good, it worked. And when you have 54% of our populace that reads at a sixth grade level or below, it's not really that complicated. And, well, here we are. So I appreciate you guys tuning in for another episode of What's Going On in the World. I'm your host, Tommy J. Houseman. And, yeah. Wow, right? Bye-bye.